I am the Solomonster. It is the Solomonster birthday stream. Still in full birthday mode, right? Brie Bella has Brie mode. Fuck that. I got birthday mode. Sharing it with all of you here tonight. I get to spend it with you here on the AEW Dynamite stream. It is Wednesday, October 7, 2020. Still in party mode. We're going to have ourselves a party tonight. It's a birthday. It's gonna be my birthday week. Why limit it to one day? You can have the whole week, right? Why limit it to one night? I get to spend it with all of you. Everyone has to do Zoom weddings and Zoom parties, so we're going to have a Zoom party here tonight, right here on YouTube. Thank you for all the nice birthday wishes. I've been getting messages from people all day long. Now, unfortunately, before we get into the AEW stuff here, I did want to mention this as it relates to NXT, and I should probably take the party hat off. Doesn't feel like it would be appropriate, unfortunately, for this story. I've had a lot of good things to say about Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland is a star on the rise on the NXT brand. They brought him over from NXT UK, and he made an appearance at the TakeOver show this past Sunday, right at the very end, right? Remember, you had Adam Cole on his shoulder, and I promise you we're going to get to AEW in a second, but unfortunately, Ridge Holland suffered a serious injury tonight. I don't know all the details. I did not watch NXT. I don't know exactly how it happened. Apparently, it happened in a match, I believe, with Danny Burch. I will show you a photo, though, of what happened. And that does not look good. Obviously, it's some kind of a leg injury. Looks like an ankle. That does not look good at all. And that really sucks, too, because this guy was clearly going to be involved in something pretty big on NXT. It does not look like that is going to happen now. Unfortunately, he was stretchered out. This is not an angle. This was not a work. This is a very real injury that he sustained. When we're done here, I'll go watch it back and see exactly what happened. But just judging from that photo alone, that don't look good. So my best to Ridge Holland. You hate to see stuff like that. That is just, that is awful. And I'm sure we'll get the injury update very soon on him. Now, switching over to AEW. 30 years ago, last week, in Ponoka, was it Ponoka, not Manitoba, Ponoka, Alberta. In Ponoka, Alberta, Canada, a 19-year-old kid named Chris Jericho made his professional wrestling debut at the Moose Hall in front of 100 people against another guy you may know. We saw his face on TV tonight, a guy by the name of Lance Storm. And Jericho made $30 that night. He makes a hell of a lot more than that now. So he's had a pretty good career for himself. And tonight was all about celebrating the 30-year anniversary of Chris Jericho's career. Chris Jericho had the main event all to himself tonight. I was not impressed at all by that main event. Clearly, the main event was just sort of a, I don't know if it was a thank you to Luther. He and Luther go way back. I'm sure for Luther, it was a great feeling and a great moment to be involved in the main event on TNT as a main event. It was not a main event. I'm sorry. It was the kind of match you would see on Dark. It had no business being in the main event tonight. But for the occasion, I guess Jericho, that's what he wanted. And Jericho got the match that he wanted. Jericho actually got a lot of shout-outs. There were a lot of tributes spliced into the show tonight, pre-taped messages from a whole bunch of different athletes, a whole bunch of different musicians and celebrities and other wrestlers. I think I wrote down all the names. I hope I didn't miss anybody in here. But we had tributes all night long from Gene Simmons, from Lars Ulrich, Paul Stanley, Steel Panther, Slash, Shaq, Dennis Miller, Kevin Smith, Eli Roth, Gabriel Iglesias, Chavo Guerrero, Ultimo Dragon, Lance Storm, Diamond Dallas Page, good old DDP. I see him about three times a week, first thing in the morning. MJF, Bully Ray, who didn't say anything, which was great. I think he took a drink, he took a swig of something, that was it. We didn't hear from him. MJF, who came out, I think I mentioned him already, he came out later on. Don Callis. Impact Wrestling's Don Callis. Don Callis is the one who was responsible for Chris Jericho getting the match with Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom a couple of years ago. That's really where you can trace this whole Jericho thing where he was coming and going to New Japan, having all these big matches. You could trace it all back to Don Callis putting the deal together, getting the deal done. He goes way back with Jericho. It's kind of surprising we've never seen Jericho in Impact, frankly. So Don Callis left a message. Jericho's dad, Ted Irvin, who I met, great guy. I met him actually when I went on the Jericho cruise earlier this year, before the plague hit all of us. Well, I guess the plague was already circulating. We just didn't know it. But I met him on the street the night before the cruise. Great guy. So we had a message from him, but bigger than all of them, bigger than Shaq, bigger than Paul Stanley, bigger than all Lars Ulrich, you can roll them all up into one. The biggest message, the biggest tribute of all was left by one Hiroshi Tanahashi of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yes, we have a taped message from Hiroshi Tanahashi with the New Japan Pro Wrestling banner behind him. So it's not like he was at home, he was in his hotel room or something. There's Tanahashi, and there's the big NJPW logo behind him, sending his very best to Chris Jericho. The forbidden door has been opened. It is the forbidden door that Chris Jericho talked about, hoping, which hasn't happened yet, that AEW and New Japan may one day work together. It kind of feels like with Harold Mage being out of the picture now, and they got a new CEO coming in a few weeks, perhaps the forbidden door is in fact opening. I hope so. This is a partnership that is long overdue. So I got most excited by seeing Tanahashi because of what it could represent. It could be nothing, but I got very excited because of what that could potentially represent. I thought that was great. So, and actually, I think there were a few different mentions of New Japan by some of the commentators, probably Excalibur, on the show tonight. We had the very first FTW title defense of Brian Cage defending the championship tonight against Will Hobbs. This was the first defense of the FTW title in 21 years. And I said, look, if Brian Cage is going to carry the FTW title around with him, he should defend it at some point. Otherwise, it's just a meaningless prop. What does it all mean? So what? He's got a title with him. Defend it. And this is exactly the kind of match that I was hoping to have for the FTW title. When I envision what an FTW title match would look like, I picture like a big man fight. I picture something like Brian Cage and Lance Archer, like Godzilla and King Kong, you know, going at it. Will Hobbs, he's not as tall as Lance Archer, but Will Hobbs is a big guy. I was actually kind of surprised they only announced him at 250 pounds. I had him pegged at 275, 280. He's a big guy. And these two guys went at it. We had Taz and Ricky Starks. They joined Excalibur, JR, and Tony Schiavone on commentary. Tony Schiavone doing well after his super kick last week. He recovered well. Tony Schiavone no selling the super kick. Even Alex Marvez, I don't think we saw him for a couple of weeks after Matt Jackson kicked him in the face. Tony's a trooper, though. Tony's been around for a few years. Tony's a tough guy. We were not 2 minutes into the show tonight. I don't think we were a full 2 minutes into the show tonight. Jim Ross referred to Ricky Starks as Ricky Skaggs, as in country music legend Ricky Skaggs. Because they look so much alike. The two of them, I mean, if you look at a side-by-side comparison, these two, you would mistake them for brothers if you saw these two guys side-by-side. You know, if you were to fuse Ricky Starks and Ricky Skaggs, because I know you people are wondering, well, what would that look like if you had a fusion, right? If you fused the two of them together, what would it look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I mocked up something very crude here before we came on the air. There is my great creation. There it is. It's Ricky Skaggs wearing a Ricky Starks face. Ricky Starks looks like he put on a few. So there you go. Jim Ross now. You can blame him for all the nightmares. All the nightmares that you're all going to have tonight when you think back to this photo here. Look at that. Ricky Starks Skaggs. They look so much alike. We had a big man match. But no long rest holds, which I thought was very interesting. You know, sometimes in matches like this, you get like a long chin lock or, you know, so the guys can catch their breath. There was none of that. There was none of that here in this match. It was all action. Cage used the pump handle driver for a two count. They traded a pair of German suplexes. Simultaneous clotheslines, both guys go down. We saw Will Hobbs bust out the spine buster. He does have a very, very good spine buster. He actually does, I hate to say this, but he actually does the spine buster. He does the Arn Anderson spine buster now better than Arn Anderson. And we saw an Arn Anderson spine buster on this show. And I think Will Hobbs is actually topped Arn Anderson. Arn can still do the spine buster, but not the way he used to. So Will Hobbs is going to, he's going to take over from here. Will Hobbs does a very good spine buster. Unfortunately, he didn't win the match with it. He went up top, went for a frog splash. Not the thing to do when you're a big guy like that. He missed. And Cage wins with the drill claw. So clearly, Will Hobbs is a project for AEW. They see a lot of potential in him, and I do too. I see a lot of potential in him as well. He's a very athletic, you know, bigger guy. But I still have yet to hear this guy speak. Now, maybe he's spoken before on Dark, and I haven't seen it, but on Dynamite, we haven't really seen any kind of video package, I don't think. He hasn't had the chance to get in the ring and cut a promo, so I don't know what his promo ability is. I haven't really gotten to know the guy. Excalibur was talking about how he's fighting for his brother. I think he said his brother was murdered some time ago. So it's good to get that kind of personal background on him, you know, what he's fighting for and family struggles and stuff like that. But we need to know more about him. And more importantly, we need to hear him speak. So it's hard to kind of judge how good he is if we're kind of missing that. But clearly the guy has a ton of potential. Tonight was not his night. Taz was giving him an ultimatum when the match was over. He was basically offering for him to join Team Taz when Darby Allin interrupted. He came out. And Brian Cage and Ricky Starks walked away. And that was the opening segment. FTR. FTR against the Hybrid 2, TH2, the team of Jack Evans and Angelico. This was their weekly 20-minute brush with greatness. Evans and Angelico, they don't really have a lot of time on Dynamite. We barely see them on Dynamite. We were told they had a 3-match win streak coming into this match tonight. They're not ranked. So they have tag team rankings in this company. They are not ranked. They are not in the top five. But I guess the way around that is FTR, they get to pick their opponents. And so FTR chose them to face this week. I guess that's kind of their way around it, which, all right, it's kind of a cheap way around it. But they show the Young Bucks backstage, and they had a, you know, they had the not the monitor, like they have the flat panel screen. And Nick Jackson is back. He's back from the dead. Nick Jackson hasn't been on TV in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So Nick Jackson was back with Matt. And they were mocking WWE. So Nick Jackson was standing sideways, the way that everybody in WWE is contractually obligated to stand sideways like an idiot. Matt Jackson, I will say, I did laugh at this. Matt Jackson literally had his back turned. So Nick at least is turned sideways. Matt Jackson, though, has his back completely turned to the monitor. He's looking over his shoulder. Clearly, we know what they were poking fun at. And you know what? I'll allow it. I'm kind of tired of some of the digs on the air at WWE. I think they should just focus on themselves. But you know what? That's such a stupid fucking thing that they do in that company. You know what? Anybody who wants to mock them for it, I'm okay with that. I'll allow it. As Judge Mills Lane would say, I'll allow it. Now, I don't know if it's ring rust or not. Obviously, they've been wrestling. It's not like this was their first match in months. There were a lot of missed... Well, there were a few missed time moves in this match by TH2. Some sloppy moments in this match that took it down a few notches for me. There was an early dive by Jack Evans onto... So basically, FTR caught Angelico. Here comes Evans. He knocks them all over like bowling pins. And he's favoring his knee. And so FTR made that their target. They went after Evans' knee. Later on in the match, Evans whiffed. I don't know. I think he was going for a leg drop of some kind. Maybe like a guillotine leg drop off the top rope. It did not connect. It did not look good. And so he went back up and he hit a moonsault. Wheeler broke up the pinfall attempt. And Helico. So he comes in. He tries for a leg sweep. Wheeler's on the apron. He tries for a leg sweep, but he was too far away. So even though Wheeler avoided it, he never would have connected with it anyway. It's just little sloppy moments like that. You know, I get that shit happens sometimes. And again, these guys are really never on Dynamite. So it kind of sucks that they had moments like that in this match. I would like to see more of them, but this was not their best showing. So Wheeler takes out Angelico outside. FTR gets the win with the Power and Glory finish. Harwood with the superplex. Wheeler with the big splash. I love that finish. They actually won the match with it. Usually when I see FTR using that move, it's for a near fall. But they won the match with it. So I like that. We cut back to the backstage area. Young Bucks, they give stereo super kicks to the camera guy. They're just kicking everybody. Frankly, it's getting a little tiresome. So they kick the camera guy and they're acting like, oh, you know, I don't have money in my pocket to pay the fine. It's like, all right, you know what? This is getting a little old. So back in the arena, best friends come out and they're wearing weenie t-shirts. So they have these shirts with hot dogs on them and Wheeler and Harwood's face are on them. They're calling them weenies. I could only shake my head. So they sent FTR packing. They're going to be getting a tag team championship match on Dynamite next week. Not the 20-minute brush with greatness stuff. It's a straight-up tag team championship match. I think they might be number one, actually, in the rankings. So this is going to have a 60-minute time limit. I don't expect a title change. But it should be a good match. Should be a very good match. I was not a fan of the comedy. To me, the comedy fell flat here in this segment. Good comedy. There is good comedy, and then there's comedy that falls flat. Which, more often than not, is what I see these days in WWE. R-Truth is like the only one who can pull off like genuinely funny comedy in that company. And even that 24/7 stuff is played out. I didn't like this. This did not work for me. Daniel Rosales with the $50 birthday super chat. Says, thanks for everything you do, Solomonster. Daniel, I don't think we've heard from Daniel here on the streams before. Thank you very much, Daniel. That was very kind of you. Time for the dog collar match. I figured this would be the main event, especially if there was a title change. Why wouldn't this be the main event? But it was the 30-year anniversary of Jericho. Jericho got the main event. So we had the TNT Championship on the line, Mr. Brody Lee against Cody. Actually, you know why they did? I know why they did this. Yeah, I mean, it was Jericho's celebration. They did this because of the debate. That's why they did this. So tonight there was a vice presidential debate. And actually, this match went on right before the debate started. So now it makes sense why they put this on a little before 9 p.m. They wanted to beat the debate to the punch. You know, WWE did that 4 years ago. One of the presidential debates in early October was head-to-head with a pay-per-view. I think it might have been No Mercy. It was a triple threat match. John Cena, Dean Ambrose, and AJ Styles for the WWE title opened the pay-per-view. I don't know what would have made evented that night, but they actually opened the pay-per-view with it because I think what they were trying to do was kind of beat the start of the debate. So that's what they were doing here with this match. So they really built this thing up. They introduced Doc Samson at ringside, Dr. Samson. He was ringside in case anybody got hurt, which they did. And they introduced Greg the Hammer Valentine, sitting all alone, all by himself up in the crowd. He was socially distant from everybody else. Of course, Greg Valentine, part of maybe the most famous dog collar match, certainly one of the most famous dog collar matches in wrestling history, from the very first Starrcade against Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's the reason why Piper, when he came into WWE, I think it was the next year, maybe it was a few months later, but when he came into WWE, he was a manager at first, before he started wrestling. Reason being, he was still hurt. I think that was an eardrum injury, some kind of injury from the dog collar match. So, you know, dog collar matches can be tough matches to have, right? You got steel chains being thrown around. It's a dangerous match. So at the start, Brody Lee, he pulled Cody forward. He jerked him forward, and Cody, with the chain in his hand, went right into John Silver. Poor John Silver. Took a bump off the apron, came up. He was bleeding. So eventually Anna Jay came out and escorted him to the back. John Silver was not the only one to bleed. on this show. In fact, there were three different people. John Silver, Cody, and Brody Lee. They all bled here in this match. Cody got DDT'd on top of the chain, busted open. I mean, he's a Rhodes. He's a Rhodes. It's a dog collar match. It would be wrestling malpractice if the guy didn't get some color. So, of course, you knew he was going to bleed. Even without the bleach blonde hair, you knew Cody was going to bleed. And he was bleeding a lot. There was a cool spot where Brody, he grabbed a table from the timekeeper's area, and he set it up outside. He gets up on the apron. Cody's on the floor, and Cody yanks the chain. And here comes Brody Lee flying off the apron. Cody catches him for a Cody cutter on the floor. That was the final spot before they went into picture-in-picture. I thought that was a very cool spot. Package. Now, this happened during the break, and I hate stuff like this. So during the commercial, I guess it was picture-in-picture, but still, this should not have happened during picture-in-picture. This is one of the biggest spots of the match. While they were at commercial, there was a table at ringside, the one that Brody Lee set up, and Cody gave Cody and Brody, a package pile driver through the table. So they at least showed a replay when we came back. I couldn't believe that they just blew that on a commercial break. But I guess when Brody came down, he busted his head open. Now he's bleeding a gusher. Now everybody's bleeding. Somewhere watching this, Ric Flair is bleeding. Everybody is bleeding. There's blood everywhere. Got blood for everybody. Cody starts whipping him. They're in the ring. He starts whipping him with the chain right across the back. I mean, again, there's blood. This was looking like a Crockett match out of 1984, which I'm sure is what Cody modeled this after. He's whipping him with the chain. Lee threw Cody over the top rope. He was hanging him neck first. Boss Man Slam only gets two. So there was a chair in the ring. I don't remember how it was introduced, but there was a chair laying in the ring. Brody picks up the chair. Arn Anderson is standing right outside the ring on the ramp. And Brody Lee takes the chair and he just chucks it right at Arn Anderson. Just chucks it right at him. Arn reflexes like a cat. He ducks. Thankfully, it didn't take his head off, but he was not happy about that. So into the ring comes Arn Anderson. Out comes Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. Arn Anderson gives him the patented Arn Anderson spine buster. But when he gets up, Brody nails him in the gut. He nails him in the gut with the chain, so that takes out Arn. Cody goes up top, hits a moonsault for a near fall. So they kept cutting into Greg Valentine. They really wanted to get Greg Valentine's reaction during this match. And every time they would cut to Greg Valentine in the crowd, he either looked like he was intensely focused on this match. Like, maybe he was. Either he was just intensely, like he was intensely focused on this match, or he ate something in the back in catering that he shouldn't have eaten, and he was just begging for this match to end. I couldn't figure out which one it was. I know that feeling, by the way. I've been there before. So if that's what it was, I can sympathize with the hammer. He couldn't wait for this match to end so that he can get the hell out of there. Cody hit the crossroads. Lee, though, with the strong style kick out at one. I think he did that with John Moxley at Double or Nothing in their AEW title match as well. Brody hit a powerbomb to Cody for a near fall. Then he hit a superplex. He goes for the discus lariat. Cody floats over, takes Lee down with the final cut. Cody then, this was pretty cool, he takes the chain and he wraps the chain around Brody's mouth. He wraps the chain around Brody's nose and he wraps the chain around Brody's eyes. And he just starts pounding away on his face. Crossroads connects and Cody is once again the TNT champion. First ever two-time TNT champion in the short run of that belt in this company. Not surprising. I mean, look, I figured Brody Lee is a warm body. He's going to keep the belt warm for Cody until his TV gig is up. And when Cody comes back, it's going to go right back to Cody. I figured that was probably the idea. I never expected Brody to win the belt in the first place. I didn't think he would be the one to take the title from Cody. Once I realized exactly what Cody was doing, I figured, all right, when he's done, he's going to come back and get the belt back. And that's exactly what happened. And I know there's going to be some people who are upset about that. Oh, back to Cody again. Brody Lee is buried. I thought this was a very good match. I enjoyed this match. Brody Lee, he came across looking like a badass, right? Kicking out of the first crossroads at one. He's got blood all over his face. It's amazing how much cooler and more badass somebody looks when they have the crimson mask, right? Their whole face is covered in a puddle of blood. So I thought Brody Lee came away from this match looking like enough of a badass. He's not buried. You know, he wasn't squashed. He squashed Cody in their first match. This was no squash. This was a competitive match. This was a violent match. I thought it was a sufficiently violent match, actually, given the stipulation. It was more violent than I thought they would allow for on TNT with everybody bleeding. You know, Tony Khan came out again tonight before the show went on the air and told everybody, have a great time, please no cursing, because we're going to be live on TNT. They are sensitive about certain things. I'm kind of surprised they allowed this, pleasantly. I'm pleasantly surprised that they allowed even this level of violence that we had here in this match. So I thought this was a very good match. Cody cut this very fiery babyface promo when it was over, making it very clear, basically, he was not going heel. He made reference to the fact that people thought he was going to the dark side, or he should go to the dark side. He goes, I can never do that. I do this for all of you. It was like a classic Dusty Rhodes babyface promo that he would have cut back in the NWA in the mid-80s. That's exactly what this was modeled after. But it worked. Cody is very good at that when it comes to promos like this. He's very good. I think even the people that don't like Cody or don't like the Cody push have to admit, when it comes to these promos, when he's kind of going off and getting all emotional like that, there aren't too many babyfaces right now today in wrestling who go out there and cut promos like this anymore. You know, it's one of the things I think that's really lacking, frankly, in wrestling. So this was very good. And he said that next week on the anniversary show, he wanted to defend the TNT title. And out comes Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy comes out. He gives the thumbs up. Cody gives him the thumbs up back. And so it is official for next week. I got to tell you, I know Orange Cassidy is still over with this audience. The AEW fans love Orange Cassidy. I like Orange Cassidy too. But we just saw Orange Cassidy challenge Brody Lee for the TNT title only a matter of weeks ago, and he lost. He was not successful. To me, it just feels like we're going back to somebody again. I guess they just went back to the old champion. But as far as challengers go, I'm still stuck on the Darby thing. I was kind of hoping it would be Darby, but Darby, I guess, is occupied right now with Ricky Starks, so I guess I really wasn't expecting that to happen. So that really is my only complaint. It just we already saw Orange Cassidy get the shot a few weeks ago, and I was kind of hoping somebody different. I was hoping somebody else would come walking out. Maybe even a new person. Maybe some new name that they signed. So it just kind of feels like a retread to me. What also I find intriguing, though, this feels like a match that Orange Cassidy has to win. He lost the match to Brody Lee. So for him to come and get another shot and then lose again, that doesn't do Orange Cassidy any favors, which makes me think that there is a shot that Orange Cassidy could walk away next week with the championship. It's possible. Even though Cody just won the belt back, and he was talking about how, people want me to go to the dark side, but I can never do that. You know what? Maybe he does. Maybe he wins the belt back like he did tonight and loses it the very next week, and that's what sets him off. I would not discount the possibility that Cody, you know, great as of a baby face as he is, could still potentially go heel. And if he were to lose his championship and then kind of go off the deep end, I'm telling you, it could happen. This just feels like a match that Orange Cassidy should not be losing. So that kind of makes it a little bit interesting to see how they're going to handle that next week. Jared M., one of our loyal diehards with the $25. Thank you for the birthday message. Level 20 Facto 2. Good show and dog collar chain match. Hopefully Brody dropping means he's moving on to bigger things. I don't know what that would be. Can't be that much bigger. The only thing bigger than the TNT title is the AEW title. And he ain't challenging for the AEW title. We already saw him and Jon Moxley a few months ago. They're not going to do that again at Full Gear. So what is your definition of bigger things? Maybe physically bigger? Maybe he'll feud with Will Hobbs or somebody like that? Maybe. Or maybe he can, you know, get into something with Brian Cage for the FTW title. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure where Brody Lee goes at this point. I don't know what his immediate future looks like. So there is an 8-man single elimination tournament that is coming up. They announced this last week. They're going to crown, I don't know if the person is the number one. I guess they would be the number one contender. The winner of this tournament is going to get an AEW championship match. They still have not made it clear if that match is going to be at the Full Gear pay-per-view at the very end of the show, or if it's going to come after. So if anybody knows the answer and can clear that up for me, please do, because it is still not clear to me if that is the case. So last week they announced the first three names in this tournament, Jungle Boy, Rey Fénix, and Kenny Omega. This week, we have Wardlow, officially announced, Colt Cabana, representing the Dark Order as a waste of a spot. We know he's not winning. And Hangman Adam Page. And there it is, right? I just talked about this last week. You knew that Hangman was going to be in this. You can see where this is headed. Maybe they'll throw us a curveball. They'll hold off on the match. I like the idea of it building to the obvious match, which is Hangman Page against Kenny Omega. How much longer can you beat around the bush? Right? Alex Marvez interviewed Kenny Omega after this, and he was very smug. He's going to win. He was all cocky and all arrogant. And when Marvez mentioned Hangman Page being in the tournament, Omega was very dismissive. He goes, yeah, you even got tag team wrestlers like Adam Hangman Page. He was being very dismissive of Hangman and very cocky and arrogant that he's going to go on to win the whole thing. I like the idea of the initial match being kind of like a competitive, friendly match between two guys who are about to not be friends. Have it come down to Omega and Hangman. I think it's also probably the match that is the least predictable. Even though I fully expect that Omega is probably going to win. That's what I would do. This is all building. That's the logical match to build to. Is to get the two of them in the ring. While they're still considered babyfaces. Eventually, once the explosion happens between the two of them, If my thoughts are correct, and if Omega is going to win the championship from Moxley, if he's going to be the one to beat Moxley at some point for that belt, maybe at Full Gear, that eventually they're going to come back around to Omega and Hangman, and the circumstances are going to be very different. At that point, I would like to see Omega as the definitive heel and Hangman as the definitive babyface that people love and people can get behind. That is the direction I think they should go. So, and it's building nicely to that. We had Big Swole against Serena Deeb. They did not seem to be on the same page in this match. I thought Serena looked a little bit better than Swole did in the ring. This was not their best effort. There were a few miscommunications here in this match. Swole hit a headbutt to the chest for a near fall. Serena went to put a submission hold. I think it was submission hold on, and Swole cradled her for a near fall. And Serena ducked a forearm strike, went for an underhook suplex. Swole blocked it. And Swole hit another headbutt to the chest, rolling elbow, and got the pin. This was probably the weakest. Well, you know what? I take that back. I actually think the main event was pretty weak. Hard to say. This might have been the weakest thing on the show. I don't know. I was not impressed by this match. I'm sorry. And Serena Deeb, I mean, she's a lady who's been around a while. She's got a lot of experience. Swole, I think, is good. But this just didn't click. And then we got to the main event. Already we're at the main event. 30 years in the making is how they build this main event. All night long, they built this as 30 years in the making. Luther and Serpentico, who call themselves Chaos Project, taking on Chris Jericho and Jake Hager of the Dark Order. So there it is, Luther getting himself a TNT main event. How long has Luther been in the business for? A long time, right? Luther's probably been in the business for same amount of time as Jericho, maybe longer, at least 30 years. I mean, they mentioned the fact that Jericho and Luther had their first match together in 1991. So Luther If Luther didn't debut the year before, he's been wrestling longer than Jericho has. The last match these two had together was in 1996. So there's history there. Now we know why Luther got his main event spot. Luther's big moment was hitting a cannonball dive out to the floor onto Jericho. Hager and Sammy Guevara was out there. Luther, I was holding my breath. He did not look comfortable up there on that top rope. Luther does not belong on the top rope. He had shaky legs. I thought this is going to end very badly, but he got his footing. Thankfully, they caught him. Everybody fell over. He went to go back up to the top rope a minute later. He actually did slip off the apron at one point, but he got back up on the apron, went up to the top rope. He looked scared to death. I mean, the guy looked scared to death. He was on spaghetti legs up there, but he was able to ram Jericho down into the canvas face first. So Luther avoided the Judas effect and caught Jericho with a German suplex. Sammy tossed Floyd the baseball bat into the ring to Jericho, but Luther intercepted. And Luther caught the bat. He buried it in Jericho's gut. And he went to go give him, I guess, what was supposed to be a big boot. I think Excalibur called it a big boot. He could barely get his boot up. He booted Jericho in the gut. So that's two gut shots now to Jericho. All the bubbly probably absorbed the blow. And Luther knocks Sammy off the apron. Turns around, though, into a Judas effect. And Jericho pins Luther. So, good friends. Got his friend the main event spot on Dynamite, but not the win. That's where we... And look, it was the right outcome, for fuck's sake. I mean, my God. Luther should not be beating Chris Jericho. But still, I kind of laugh, right? We'll get you the main event, but I'm going over. It is his, I guess, look, it is his anniversary celebration after all. So Jericho gets the win, he takes the mic, and he's about to give this great speech here in the middle of the ring. Again, the match itself, I should just say, I said this before, this was not a main event match. There was, on any other night, under any other circumstance, the main event of this show would have been the dog collar match. But the reason the dog collar match went on first, the debate, and the fact that this entire show is built around Jericho's anniversary, he had to go on last, I guess, they felt. And I'll say no more. He did a favor for his friend. I'm happy for Luther. Yeah, I heard part of that Talk is Jericho interview that he did with Luther a while back. Luther seems like a swell guy. I'm glad he's getting his moment of glory. This was not a main event by any stretch. Jericho's speech, though, is interrupted by MJF. Out comes MJF and Wardlow, and he's got a gift for Jericho. And the gift is Clownico the Clown. I thought I was watching Raw for a second. Clownico the Clown. And Clownico the Clown brought a gift with him. He handed the gift over to Jericho. And Jericho opened the gift. It was a framed photo of MJF. This was The Rock and Farouk all over again. Remember The Rock got Farouk the framed photo of himself? Actually, I don't even know if it was framed. It was just cardboard. But he got him the picture of himself. So Jericho has this picture now of MJF in his hands. And he's laughing. Oh, thank you for the gift. He breaks the picture. Over Clownico's head, down goes the clown. Fuck the clown. Only clown I ever liked was Doink when he was a heel. Once they turned him babyface, it all went to shit. Fuck the clown. So now they're teasing that there's some animosity between them. And all of a sudden they start laughing. Like, aha, we're just kidding. All right, there's always this underlying tension between Jericho and MJF. That's building to something. And MJF promised a career-defining announcement next week. Could potentially be the announcement on whether or not he's going to join the Inner Circle. Which I'm sure he's not. But he's going to have some kind of announcement next week in the locker room emptied out with all the heels to celebrate with Jericho. I will say the best part of this entire thing, because I thought the Clownico stuff was just stupid. But I thought that the best part of this was the credits. They roll the credits at the end of the show. for the director and the producer and the camera people, and every name on the list is Chris Jericho. So Jericho credited himself for every single job on the production team. I did laugh at that. I did find that funny. Not necessarily as clever, though, as back when the WWE used to do the old Slammy Awards and they would have credits at the end of the show. Even some of the old Saturday Night's Main Event shows on NBC, you know, they would have credits rolling at the end of the show. And it would say, I forgot, was it the director or something, like kayfabe was listed as one of the producers or directors on the show or something like that. It was like kayfabe or something. See, that's clever. But we have Professor John Gotti with the $200. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Wow. Where's my horn? I gotta blow my horn here. It's my birthday. I haven't even used my horn. Now that's a birthday gift right there. John Gotti with the $200 drive. Just topped himself. I said he had the biggest super chat I've ever gotten 20 minutes ago. He's like, eh, fuck that. We can top that. Well, I don't know what to say. Thank you to the professor joining us here tonight. That was the end of the Dynamite show. I thought the dog collar match clearly was the best thing on the entire show. And kudos to both guys. They went out there. I thought they killed it. They did the best with the stipulation. It's not easy. You know, when you do a strap match or a dog collar match, you're bound by the wrist. You're bound by the neck. You're very limited in what you can do. It can be tough. It can be hard, right, to do a match like that. At least they had pinfalls and submissions, though. Some of these matches, like when WWE does a strap match, for example, and you got to touch the turnbuckles. You know, one of the things that you're doing in matches like that is you're taking away the element of drama with the pinfall. So, you know, I figured there were probably going to be pinfalls in this match. But thankfully, it wasn't like the whole strap match deal where you got to hit the corner. You're taking away one of the most important things in a match, which is the drama of the near fall, right? The drama of the pinfall. So they at least didn't do that. But outside of that, I really didn't think this was overall anything special. It was, you know, kind of a regular, good episode, but nothing that I think people should go out of their way to see if they missed it outside of the dog collar match. That really would be the only thing I would recommend. If you did not see the show tonight, really everything is building to the anniversary show. So next week is the big AEW championship match, Jon Moxley and Lance Archer. I assume Archer will be okay by then. Again, he is at home. He had been diagnosed with COVID, and I guess he's still getting over it. So the hope and the expectation is that he will be there next week and we'll have a championship match. And they're going to have a tag team championship match, FTR against Best Friends. Cody defending the TNT title against Orange Cassidy. I don't know if they've announced any kind of women's title match. They didn't at the end of the show tonight. There was no mention of Sheeta. There was no mention of Thunder Rosa. All of a sudden, Thunder Rosa's not on TV, which makes me sad. So I don't know if that title is going to be defended or not. But they've got a whole bunch of championship matches all lined up for next week, and whatever this big announcement is going to be from Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I guess we will find out. Coming up next week, this is the AEW poll. If you would like to vote on Twitter, the polls are open as they are every week at Solomonster. 77% thumbs up for Dynamite, 23% thumbs down on the NXT side. We'll get that loaded up here. 61% thumbs up, 38.6% thumbs down. So let's run through some more of your super chats here. I know I'm way behind, and I will take your messages, your birthday wishes, your questions. You want to send them on in. Well, you know what would make my birthday really special? If we had a certain someone who would call in and join me tonight.
Cameron Grimes!
Yeah. I don't think we're going to hear from him, though. I don't think we're going to hear from Cameron Grimes. Jacob Donnelly, was it me or was there a lot of New Japan talk on this show, including Tanahashi's message? Might be overthinking it, but one can dream that it means something. It could mean something or it could mean nothing. It's just one message. But there are signs that with this management shakeup in New Japan that it could be the first small step to possibly there being some kind of dialogue between the two companies. I hope. I put my hands together and I hope. Because this is something that, as a fan, I would love to see. Quintus Brown, happy birthday. Thank you. Jacob Donnelly, happy birthday. He forgot to include it in the other super chat. Thank you, Jacob. Michael Cuomo, happy birthday. Michael Cuomo, another one of our longtime fans. Oz and Glorious, happy birthday to the best dude on the whole effing internet. Solomonster for life. Yeah, you've heard that question before about if you were to ever find yourself in a foxhole, who would you take with you? See, I couldn't give an answer and just give one name because I would want to take all of you with me. All of you got my back. Always. I had one person who sent me some kind of nasty comment on Twitter. This was a few weeks ago. And I didn't give a shit. I made a mistake and I replied, which I make it a point now I try not to do because what's the point of even engaging with people like that? But everybody just jumped to my defense and it's like, whoa. It's like, you know, the sound of army is a strong army of people, I have to say. We have assembled quite the group of people. I'm blessed to have an audience as great as the one that I have. Papo Jr., from one Libra to another, happy birthday, my brother. The Sky Genie Channel, happy birthday, sir. He puts this towards the liquor budget for how horrible WWE was to watch this week. Professor John Gotti, again, he had those two absolute bombs, just nuclear bombs that he dropped here on the stream. So I will once again give him a shout out. Bob Rouse. Thank you, Bob. Rodimus Prime with the $30. Mike Vaginos. Happy birthday, my fellow Libra. What do you think the most gruesome injury on TV or pay-per-view is? Well, I think we just saw one of them. But probably the most gruesome that I've ever seen is the one that you mentioned, Sid's leg snap in WCW. I don't know. It's hard to think of another one. I mean, unless you're talking about people who are like paralyzed and stuff. But I mean, in terms of just like a visible injury, like a bone break or something of that nature. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Sid, it's hard to think of one that was nastier than that. I'm sure if I had a few minutes, I could probably think of others. But that one's still at the top of my list. Dry chicken without flavor. Says, sorry, I cannot watch the review last week due to watching my Lakers in the NBA Finals Series 3-1 Lakers. KM Truth with the 20. Happy birthday. You're the best podcaster on the planet. Keep up the good work and don't forget to roll the credits at the end of your live stream like Chris. Oh, damn it. You know what? I didn't have time to put it all together. I'm always flustered when the show goes off the air. I'm trying to get ready. I can do that, though. I have the ability to do that. I just didn't have time. Jacob Harrison, have the best birthday possible, dude, during a pandemic. Dry chicken without flavor. I like the fact that AEW got Will Hobbs and FTW belt over. Yeah, I mean, they did a good job of, I think, even in defeat. You know, Will Hobbs had a good showing. He's still young to the roster. He might be young, period, but he's young to the roster. He's going to have a lot more opportunities. And I see good things for him. Clearly, they see him as their little pet project. And what I like about it is you can't say, oh, it's a WWE guy. It's not. This is a guy they can build from scratch. They can make him their own. You know, he can be one of these homegrown AEW talents that goes on to be a big name. And he doesn't have to worry about the label of being a guy from here or a guy from there. AEW can build him from the ground up. JC Zephyr with the $20. Happy birthday. Here's to all the years you kept me and all of your fans entertained and informed. What was your favorite birthday memory? My favorite birthday I've had some bad birthday memories. I don't know about favorite birthday Yeah, you know, Elvency in the chat mentions the Joe Theismann leg break. Yeah, that was very similar. It might have been the same exact kind of injury that Sid sustained, but we're talking wrestling. But yeah, the Theismann injury, I mean, the Theismann one is a legendary injury, right? I think Lawrence Taylor, Lawrence Taylor was a tough guy. I think when LT saw what happened, he like popped up. He was all panicked and freaked out. I mean, I would be too, you know, if I saw something like that happen in front of me or I heard it. Yeah, there have been some nasty injuries. I don't know, favorite birthday memory. I've had a lot of good memories of you know, birthdays over the years. I mean, one of the worst ones, and I'm actually going to talk about this on the podcast this weekend when I do the history segment, but one of the worst ones I can remember was probably the day that I was not home. I was on a family vacation. And we didn't take too many of those because we couldn't afford them. But we were on a family vacation in Florida. I was really pissed because it was the day of the Bad Blood pay-per-view. And, you know, big WWE fan back then. If I had to miss a pay-per-view, it was like a national day of mourning. So all I was thinking about was just kind of keeping up with the news. And they had the fan hotlines back then. I called one of them to get some kind of update. And that's how I found out that Brian Pillman died. So that was actually the day before my birthday. But it was like, wow, you talk about a buzzkill. So that's one of the worst birthday memories I could think of, as big of a fan as I was, to get that news. It's like, whoa. That was not a good one. Sean Turner, blood all over the place. Thank God it wasn't someone's quad, because I'm sure you'll hear Kevin Nash quad tear in the distance. Dr. Marek was there live tonight for my first live wrestling show. Gotta say, I had a blast. Hoping to come back when bigger crowds are allowed back. Jackalope, if Orange Cassidy beats Cody, Cornette will suffer a brain aneurysm. Perhaps that's why they're doing the match. They're trying to kill Jim Cornette. Prince Walker, didn't get to watch the full show, but wanted to say happy birthday and that Anna Jay has the best theme in AEW. We can agree on that, yes. Anna Jay has the best theme, sure, yes, in AEW. Jake Finn, thank you for the pair of super chats. Professor John Gotti, there's that 200 bomb. I still can't believe that. Dried Chicken, my Jay White versus Sonata G1 Climax 30 finals prediction is still alive. Well, that's good, because Sonata was my dark horse pick. Darlene Bimbai. I was going to say Mimbai. What's going on, Darlene? Happy birthday, Solomonster. Do you think we'll see Moxley defending his IWGP US title on Dynamite at some point in the future? Never say never. I don't see that happening, though. I think we're probably a ways off from any kind of... If there is some kind of working relationship there, and I say never because we just saw the NWA women's title defended on Dynamite, so... One day, yeah, maybe. But if it happens, it ain't going to happen for a while. Food Hive, with Florida opening up, will Florida opening up have an impact on crowds? You'll get a few more people on some of these shows, but I think this whole idea that they're opening it back up to full crowds at stadiums and stuff, if you think that that means, for example, that WrestleMania is going to have 60, 70,000 people, you're out of your fucking mind. They can open it up all they want to. They ain't getting 65,000 people to fly out to WrestleMania. Professor John Gotti with another $100. Is that a replay from before? Did I hit the replay button by accident? I don't think I did. I think he dropped another $100 bomb on me. What in the world is going on here? What is going on? Is this like a quid pro quo? Do I owe him something now? Or there's going to be two guys come to my door to break my kneecaps if I don't give him what he wants? I'm a little worried now. What's going on here? Professor John Gotti, he is setting all kinds of sound off records here on the stream tonight. You know, one day I'm going to be updating the website soon. I'm going to have a wall of fame, and I'm going to have to put John Gotti right there in the top spot. PB with the $50 monster drop here. Happy birthday, he says. Solomonster. Boy, I'm getting some use out of that Solomonster Hulkamania graphic there, aren't I? That's my Halloween costume from a few years ago. Tyler Williams, happy belated birthday. Here's to 13 more years of the sound off. I'll be sure to pop some bubbly for you. How have you been liking the G1? I'm very far behind on the G1. I haven't even watched the Ibushi Will Ospreay match, which I can only imagine was great. What I've seen so far, though, I've been enjoying it. I've heard some complaints about it's not the same, the people aren't making as much noise. That doesn't bother me at all. The people are there. They're making noise. Just because they're not cheering as loudly You know, they're clapping more than they're cheering because they don't want them opening their mouths. They're there. The buildings look pretty packed. They're making noise. That's fine with me. It feels, when I watch the New Japan shows, they feel as close to normal as any other wrestling show that I've seen since the pandemic started. So that really doesn't bother me at all. You know, even the NXT setup at the Capitol Wrestling Center from the other night at TakeOver, I assume they were back there again tonight. I really thought that that made for a really awesome environment. So I could appreciate these companies, you know, they're doing what they can to try to give the shows more of a kind of like a big time feel, I guess. They're trying to work within the parameters that they're under. There's really nothing they can do. And they're trying to make the most of it. You know, they're trying to make the most of a bad situation. What the hell are you going to do? Chris Ludek. Happy birthday, Jason. The worst sports injury to me is Louisville versus Duke in 2013 when you can see Kevin Ware's knee snap and the bone popped. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Ugh. Yeah, I remember that one. Naif Al-Safar. Happy birthday, Solomonster. With the 99.99 super chat. Naif, I salute you. I was just thinking about you earlier, actually. I was putting your name in the roll call for the show on Sunday coming up. Naif, wow, thank you very much. And Dry Chicken, Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers? I've always been partial to, I was always partial to Jason. But once I saw Halloween for the first time, and I think I only saw the first Halloween movie for the first time, maybe like, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, maybe. I fell in love with the Halloween franchise. So I got to go with Michael. I know Jason's my namesake. Love Jason, but of the two, you put me on the spot, I probably would go with Michael. That first Halloween movie is really what birthed all of these other slasher films that came after it, including Jason. I don't think without Michael, there's a Jason. So you got to go with Michael. And Professor John Gotti, oh, he's not done. Professor John Gotti says this makes it $500. Happy birthday. Paid that tribute listening to years of great content. Get that drink, sir. A toast to the Solomonster. 13 years strong. You know, I did forget. I should have had the drink handy, and I don't have the drink handy right now. So all I got is this bottle of water. So it's all I got. I will salute you, Professor Gotti. We'll pretend it's vodka. But thank you. Thank you, Professor. That is amazing. Wow, you guys have blown me away tonight. I wasn't expecting this. I really wasn't. I was not expecting this tonight. So I want to just hear from some of you guys. I don't think I can go too late because I got to get up really early in the morning here, but we'll keep the party going for a little while longer. We'll take some calls. Why not, right? 646.
Hey, what's up, Solomonsters? JC Zephyr.
JC, what's going on?
I'm good, man. Can't complain, Again, happy birthday. Didn't think I'd be the first to be on, but hey, here I am, kicking out the card.
I'm full of surprises. You never know what to expect on this show.
That I cannot disagree on. But I do have a question to ask you. It's a general question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was instances on your channel where you interviewed a lot of people, but once things get back to normal, like, who would you love to interview and feature on your YouTube channel?
Who would I love to interview on my channel who I haven't all... I mean, there are people I've interviewed already who I wouldn't mind having on again. I always said, like, I thought Kurt Angle would be a good interview. He's been doing a lot of interviews lately, though. He did a great one with Steve Austin on the network. I don't think I'd be able...
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to top that one. It's kind of like, what's the point? If you can't top it, then, you know, what's the point? But I always thought it would be cool to kind of talk with Kurt... talk with Brett, you know, for obvious reasons, being a big fan of his work. I have questions about certain matches that, you know, maybe he would remember. I've been very fortunate. You know, I've had the chance to interview a lot of really cool people. I love the interview I did with Tony Schiavone that people may not know that I did, you know, when he was in MLW. This was right before he came to AEW. I had the chance to interview him. I've interviewed Jim Ross, you know, Mean Gene, DDP a couple of times. I don't know. It's hard to kind of boil it down. I don't think there's that one person that I'm really after. I think it would just be cool to interview a whole bunch of people who I haven't had the chance to talk to yet. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to put a list together and think about who that would be. So.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, you got enough time, man. But yeah, I don't want to take up too much anyone's time and your time. So just shout out to the chat and hope you have a good rest of your birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, JC.
No problem, man. Take care.
All right, you too. Yeah, it's been a while since I've done the interview thing. Part of it is time, and part of it is just kind of trying to figure out who people would want to hear from. I mean, really, at the end of the day, I can interview anybody, but if the interest is not there in hearing a conversation, then what's the point in doing it? So, yeah, maybe the best thing to do is kind of to throw it to you guys. Is there anybody out there, whether it's a legend or somebody current? I mean, obviously, it couldn't be somebody who's currently in WWE for obvious reasons, but is there anybody out there who, you know, maybe one day you'd like to see interviewed on the channel? You know, one element that I didn't have available to me at that time when I was doing a lot of those interviews was the video element. I really didn't start doing video on the channel. I did the occasional videos, you know, feature. It's not like I never did video before, but it really wasn't until this year that I said, you know what the hell have I been waiting for? I do the weekly streams, let's introduce video. So now we'd have the video element to it, you know, possibly, which is kind of exciting. But yeah, I mean, if people have an interest, somebody in the chat said Sting, hey, I'd love that. If I could find out who his agent is, I'd love to get somebody like Sting on the show. I don't know if that would be on video, though. But yeah. Throw a bunch of ideas out there, and we'll see if we can make it happen. Or better yet, tweet those people and tell them you want to hear them on the show. Right? Sometimes you got to go grassroots with these things. Just got to reach out and tag them on Twitter and see if they're interested. Let's see here. Oz Inglorious wants to give a hats off to Professor John Gotti and says, please interview Sting. His agent is, and then he gives the agent's name. Interesting. All right, I may have to look into that. HBKC83, from one Mets fan to another, happy birthday there, fella. See, we understand each other. We can commiserate together. You understand my pain, I understand yours. It's a special pain that only we really enjoy, only we can really understand. Hopefully with this new ownership change, that will hopefully things will be different going forward, and the Mets won't be the laughing stock they've been for so long. That would be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? I think that would be nice. 519. Don't you think 519, that would be nice if the Mets actually started to turn things around? I guess 519 doesn't really give a shit about the Mets. 519, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Sorry, I had it on you, Neil.
Okay. You don't care much about the Mets, do you, I assume?
No, I'm a candidate person, so I'm all J's all the way.
There you go. That's what I figured. You're in the right boat. You don't need to concern yourself with Mets stuff. That's for me to worry about. But anyway, what's your question?
Well, my main question is, why can't WWE get their shit in order? Like, I'm a lifelong fan, and I listen to you because I can't understand why they can't get it in order.
We could be here all day trying to have that conversation. I think we all know at the end of the day, everything revolves around one person. And everyone is kind of at the whims of that one person. And sometimes he does things that make sense. And a lot of times he does things that make no sense at all. It completely depends on what side of the bed that he woke up on. He doesn't get much sleep anyway, right? We've heard that sleep is the enemy. He sleeps like 2 hours a night. Maybe that explains a lot, actually. I don't know, but...
Well, I agree with him, but I'm not bipolar like that guy.
Yeah, no, there's no easy answer to your question, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, I love your work. Hope you keep doing it the proper way like you do, sir, so... Keep on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
All right. Good day, sir.
All right. You too. We have a super chat from Mr. Sean Turner. Family friendly Sean from now on. Only smiles. That's what I like to hear. PG Sean, right? PG Sean. Now I kid Sean. I kid Sean. All right, let's take a few more, and then we'll get on out of here. I'll leave you guys to the rest of your night. Yeah, we got about 15 more minutes here before the day is over. Even though technically it was my birthday yesterday, not today, but today's the party, right? Party's over in 15 minutes, it looks like. Let's go to 631. How about that? 631. What is your question or comment? Question, comment?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on, Salamonster? Happy birthday, firstly.
Thank you.
Thank you for providing us with this much content. I mean, I haven't been watching you for long. I was one of the ones who joined from Hell in a Cell last year.
Oh, boy.
So.
Oh, boy.
And we're coming up on the anniversary of that, so.
We actually, now that you mentioned, yeah, it's true. Now that you mentioned that, I don't remember exactly what day of the month it was. If it was earlier in October or later October. But yeah, we're pretty much right at the 1 year mark. And that was one of the probably biggest pay-per-view review recaps that I've ever done. Like, people were losing their minds that night. And I always
knew who you were. I always wanted to start listening to you, but I was so pissed off that night. I couldn't find anybody to listen to, and you were the only one that was live. So.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you found me.
Yeah. Well, I thought my thoughts on the show, I thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed the dog collar match. I mean, apparently they said the last one was like 37 years ago. I mean, that's older than me. So I've never seen one before, and I actually pretty enjoyed it. But I just have two quick questions for you.
Sure.
One of them is back when Moxley was challenging for the AEW title at Revolution during that build, there was the thing where Jericho tried to get him into the inner circle and tried to recruit him. And I remember on the podcast you talked about what if Moxley took the offer and paraded around with the Undisputed Era, Jesus Christ, the inner circle for a while.
That would have been interesting.
Can you see that happening with MJF? Like, maybe he joins the inner circle for a bit, but there's some tension in it, but he's in it for a little bit, and then it blows up into maybe like a MJF at Full Gear.
Well, I mean, Full Gear is a month away. I guess it would be a short-term thing if he were to join. I kind of feel like they're not setting it up for him to join because it would almost be too predictable. Like, yeah, he announces that next week I'm going to have a career-altering announcement. He shows up next week. All right, I'm in. I'm in the inner circle. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be something else. I don't know what, though, right? They've been teasing Sammy doesn't like MJF. Sammy was the only one who didn't get a jacket the other week from MJF.
Mm-hmm.
I think even tonight he made a comment, very flippant comment at Sammy, like, your jacket's coming, kid, or he said something like that. So I'm intrigued about what they're going to do here. Because MJF is not going to be a follower. Like, in a way, it wouldn't make sense for him to want to replace Sammy, because Sammy is the underling of the group. If anything, he might want to take over control of the group himself from Jericho. And that sets up a match maybe between him and MJF if Jericho thinks he's sort of elbowing in on his turf. I guess it's possible. Maybe he joins for a few weeks, but he ain't going to join for any real length of time, though. I mean, I look at Full Gear and neither one of them has any obvious match except against each other.
Yeah.
I get there somehow.
Yeah. And I like the attention to detail because apparently for the plan for Inner Circle, because I remember hearing Jericho talk about this on Talk is Jericho, was that Sammy's spot was supposed to be MJF, but they wanted to take MJF in a different direction. And that's how Sammy got added to the group.
Well, I think it worked out for the better. If that's the case, then I think it really worked out for the better. MJF did not need Jericho as the one doing the talking for him in that group. Sammy's had a few issues recently, obviously we know that, but I think Sammy is a great character on the show. I'm very entertained by him, and I think Sammy gained a lot by being part of this group. MJF has done fine on his own, but imagine if Sammy didn't have the benefit of being in a faction. you know, where would he be? Would he be in as strong of a position as he's been in? Probably not. You know, would he have been in the Stadium Stampede? Probably not. So I think that worked out for the better.
Yep. And the last question I really have for you, it's kind of off topic, but did you see the last episode of The Walking Dead, and did you enjoy it? Because I know you're a fan.
Yeah, I did. I saw it. I enjoyed it. And I just kind of hope, I kind of wish they didn't announce the spinoff that's coming, because it kind of gives away some spoilers of who's not being killed off. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, I just want it to end, because I've invested too long of my life into this.
I was sad to see.
Kind of dragging on.
I call him because he reminds me so much of Luchasaurus. I don't want to give away anything. I was going to. I almost gave away a spoiler. There is a character on the show, though.
I know you're talking about.
Yes. There is a character on the show that does remind me a lot, though, of Luchasaurus.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the height, so. And the mask. The mask is kind of similar.
Yeah, he looks like he could have been a wrestler. He would have fit in very well as a pro wrestler. Anyway.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call on your birthday. Happy late birthday again.
Thank you.
Once again, I love the show tonight. And all the New Japan stuff that was mentioned, apparently it was mentioned like 7 or 8 times tonight, which hasn't been happening in a while. So I'm excited to see where that goes. But anyways, that's really it. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Yeah, there were a lot of name drops of New Japan or New Japan related things tonight. I didn't pick up on all of them, but as he said, there were a whole bunch of them. And that plus the little Tanahashi message. Hey, could be nothing. But in light of some of the news that came out this week, as far as the big management change in New Japan, people not being very happy with the guy who had power before, and now he's gone, or he will be in a few weeks, I'm telling you, that could pave the way for some really cool things in the near future. Mike, with another super chat drop. Thank you to him. And actually two of them. I only saw the one. Now I see the second one. And Oofman Entertainment, Hell in a Cell 2019 happened on your birthday. That's right. Oh my God, that's right. How could I forget? That was the shittiest birthday gift I think I've ever gotten. That Hell in a Cell show was on my birthday last year. How the fuck did I forget about that? That show put me in such a foul mood on my birthday. That's right. That fucking main event. And let's do... how about we do 702? Here in the final minutes of the day here as we tick away to midnight on the East Coast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Someone hello, hello, hello. Birthday.
How's are you enjoying the G1 at all?
From what I've seen of it, yeah, I'm really far behind, though. But what I've seen so far, I've enjoyed.
So I've been watching especially a lot of Sonata matches, because mm-hmm. I think he's setting up to be the one that he's going to win the G1. He has a really shitty Dragon Sleeper. My question will be...
Skull End.
I mean, the move is called the Dragon Sleeper.
Okay. Not as bad. Yeah. Wait a minute. Not as bad as Okada's Cobra Clutch.
Yeah, but when you have somebody in your roster like Zack Sabre Jr. who can do a Dragon Sleeper better than you can, and it's just a transitional move, why do you even do it as a finisher?
Well, that's not. I'm the wrong person to ask. I agree.
So with that in mind, who do you think out of like the top wrestlers right now that has a really shitty move, like a finisher, and what move would you give him? I personally will give Sanada, like, since he is kind of like the Great Muta's
protege. Why not just the moonsault. I mean, he's already used it, so why not just the moonsault?
Oh, he can add the Shining Wizard too. Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I think the Moonsault is, as a finish, what? I think the Moonsault is fine.
Which wrestler would you change their finisher if you could? To what?
Well, I mean, look, in New Japan, I mean, no one in New Japan outside of what we were just talking about stands out to me as having like a horrific finisher. In WWE, there have been guys over the years that have had finishers that you know are not great. Even in AEW, I'm trying to think of whose like finishing move I would change. As far as the key stars go, I don't think any of them really bother me. I mean, the coffin drop is a pretty cool move that Darby has. You know, Moxley has the paradigm shift. Archer has the, oh gosh, what does he call it? Blackout. There we go. I knew it would come to me. So I'm pretty satisfied, honestly. The drill claw is a pretty cool move that Cage has. I'm pretty content with, I think, the finishing moves that people have. I just want it to be devastating. I want it to be a move that you look at and go, okay, that is a move that could finish somebody off and put them down for the three count. And sometimes a guy will debut and he'll have a move and it's kind of shitty and it just takes him a while to find something that works for them. Yeah, I mean, there's really nobody that stands out to me right now is anybody that really bothers me. Sean Turner with the $10. I hope you enjoyed your birthday. Found your channel 3 years ago, back when TV Tracks was clipping your channel. Your rants of Vince were my favorite. Thanks to you, I got back into wrestling. I do miss Tracks. Yeah, a lot of people do. But he had enough. And he has moved on, which he is more than entitled to do. You know, he was posting a lot of clips from different shows and was a big help to my show. And, you know, we became friendly. And I haven't spoken to him probably since he stopped. I haven't heard from him, but hopefully he's doing well. I know a lot of people got exposed to the different podcasts that way, and some people ended up getting back into wrestling, you know, because of that, because of all the clips that were going up, and him doing it on a weekly basis was a lot of work. I can understand why he would get burned out, which I think is what happened at the end of the day. I think it was just a matter of getting burned out. As the clock strikes midnight, I have to thank everybody yet again for joining me here tonight. I will take one more here. Well, maybe one or two more. Before we wrap up, let's go to 248.
Hey, so Master, this is Markel.
Hey, Markel, what's going on?
Oh, happy birthday. Here's your birthday.
It is. Well, I mean, yesterday was, but we're actually doing the celebration today. So I consider today part of my birthday as well.
Oh, congratulations. Happy birthday. Another year alive. So what is the point of Cody getting the title again? Like, I'm sick of this. The overbooking.
Well, the hope is that they got it back on him because they have some kind of angle in mind for the next person who beats him. It could be Orange Cassidy. I mean, it would be kind of weird for them to give Orange Cassidy another shot and he just loses again the way he did last time. So I don't know if he's going to win it next week or not. I have to assume this is going somewhere and they didn't just hopefully put the belt back on Cody without a plan in mind of who he's going to drop it to. I know some people are sick of it, but you know, some of those matches he was having on TV, you know, were sometimes those were the best parts of Dynamite. So if they want to get new faces in there against him again, if they want to debut somebody new, some new guy comes in and beats him for it, let's give it a few weeks and see where they go with it.
Yeah, they said Brody was a transitional champion.
Basically, he was.
Cody was coming.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's what he was. I mean, he I mean, he had it for more than a few weeks. But if you think about it, I mean, look, even the Iron Sheik, when the Iron Sheik won the championship back in 83, he had it for probably a month, maybe a little more than a month. It's not like he lost it the next week, but he was a transitional champion. They had to get it off this one guy to get it on the other. And that's what Brody Lee was. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I'm completely wrong. He was not a transitional champion. I lied to you. That's not true. A transitional champion is getting the belt off one person onto another so that you can get it onto a totally different person. So this time the belt went right back to the old, old champion. So that is, by definition, that is not what a transitional champion is. So I am wrong. Technically, Brody Lee was not a transitional champion.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. I do have some sources. They said the Man of the Hour is supposed to come to AEW, so don't be surprised.
The Man of the Hour. Refresh my memory. Who is that?
Leo.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I thought he was retired, though. I thought he was doing. I thought he was back into doing music, though.
No, he just had a match.
Okay.
Against Brian Cage the other night, this weekend.
Okay, yeah. I completely blanked out on that. I thought, I just assumed he was taking a break and he was back to focusing on his music. Well, look, I mean, Leo, he's a talented guy. He would probably fit in well in AEW. Yeah, I could see that.
And that's all I had to say. I enjoyed your show. So thank you for taking my call. I finally made it. Your phone line reminds me of a call center that I used to work at. Always busy.
I'm glad you made it on, though. I'm glad you made it on.
All right. Bye.
All right. Have a good night. Yeah, I forgot that Leo Rush was the Man of the Hour. That was his nickname. Nobody can deny the talent that Leo Rush has. So if AEW were to give him a look and bring him in, I mean, they don't really have much to look at. They know his body of work. It's just a matter of if the two sides want to work together. Yeah, he can probably have some pretty killer matches on that roster. Leo Rush and AEW? I could see that. Hey, Sean, thanks for the buck. One final buck, the young buck that he just sent in. All right, guys, this is the AEW poll one last time, and this is the NXT poll. If you would like to voice your feedback on tonight's show, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter at Salamos. You can give me a follow over there and give me a subscribe. Like, oh, look at that, perfect timing. Ryan Craig just subscribed. We are not yet at 60K, but we are now less than 50 subscribers away from 60,000 subs here on this channel. Very cool. Very cool. Very excited about that. Well, I want to thank everybody who joined me for my little birthday celebration tonight. You guys broke all the super chats. I have never had a bigger super chat night than I had tonight. You know, before this, it was WrestleMania, that two-night WrestleMania earlier this year. We killed it that weekend, and you guys just killed it all in one night, and I can't thank you enough for it. You know, from Professor John Gotti, who dropped 500 alone from Professor Gotti, and everybody else who showed their support tonight, you guys came out in full force and killed it, so I thank you. Let me take this off. This is really annoying me. So again, thank you very much for all of your support. I'm going to be back with you live again next Wednesday for AEW Dynamite. I'm working on some other things as well, maybe like a live inbox with some Q&A, taking your email questions and super chats as well. I'm hoping maybe we could do that in the next couple of weeks. I'll announce it in advance on Twitter if I'm going to do that and let you guys know. And as always, you can check out the full shows. They go up every Sunday. Episode 672 of The Sound Off is up right now, 2.5 hours. A lot of news that I covered this past weekend. And then this weekend will be episode 673. And so hopefully you'll join me then for that. So until then, be well, stay safe. I will hopefully see all of you back here next week as we march to 60K. So tell everybody to go ahead and sub. If you have any friends who are looking for wrestling content, send them right here. And I will see you guys back here again for more Sound Off next weekend. 1 year older and wiser. Don't forget. You put this back up. Don't forget the anniversary shirt. The sale is good through Saturday. 20% off when you use the code FALL at checkout. Get the 13-year anniversary shirt. Spooky Sound Off. I love it. I'll see you guys next week.